From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made earlier this month when the superintendent of Rochester City Schools offered his ideas for how to solve a financial mess. It's not a final budget or a plan yet, but let's lay out what's going on here. You probably remember that earlier this year, the district announced it was seriously behind projections, maybe $30 million behind, in fact, for the current school year, and that was the immediate problem, an emergency for right now. But it also raised questions about whether the district is going to be in trouble fiscally for years to come. The new superintendent, Terry Dade, said the district would close the gap for this year, this school year, without cutting teachers. And now he says his team has done exactly that. But the superintendent says the same kinds of budgeting issues could extend to future years, and it's time to get serious about them. Part of that planning means cutting staff, including as many as 168 teaching positions in the future. The superintendent says there is simply no way to shore up the full mess without cutting some teachers. On the school board, the conversation about this has been robust. The next budget, as we mentioned, isn't due until late winter, but it's vital to plan now. And so we're asking this hour, is the superintendent's analysis correct? Is it impossible to solve this problem without reducing the number of teaching positions in city schools? Are there other options? He says, of course, there are other things that can be done. It's not just one thing. It's many things. But he wants to get serious about planning and be entirely sober about just how to do it. So let's talk this hour about what the school board is saying about that. The president of the Rochester City School Board is Van White, who's with us in studio. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Evan.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, right?
It is afternoon.
Time flies.
Beatrice LeBron is a city school board commissioner. Welcome back to you.
Thank you, Evan.
Nice to have you. And on the line with us is Natalie Shepherd, also a member of the school board. Natalie, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me, Evan.
Well, before we jump into what the commissioners have to say, I want to listen to, we've got several clips of what the superintendent had to say. And I want to listen to first what he had to say about cutting teachers, because if anything is bound to be either debated or controversial, it's the idea of cutting staff and in particular cutting teachers. And this is some of what the superintendent had to say about that.
We are looking at all personnel areas, including administration. So when I say central office and even my executive cabinet, those are on the table as well. When we're talking about the numbers with regards to teachers, the community has to know that our primary numbers of employees come from our teaching ranks. When you're talking about securing a $9.74 million budget reduction,
you
could not do it without teachers. So while it's easy to say just cut administration, we also need our principals and other administrators to run our district as well. So it's not as easy as folks are making out. Of course, teachers are going to be our primary focus. They are our number one asset in our children's education once they walk through our school doors. And this is quite a predicament that we're in, facing a $64 million hole.
That's the superintendent on the reality that he says you cannot fix this problem long term without at least cutting some teachers. And when the president of the Rochester Teachers Association, Adam Urbanski, challenged that and said, hey, man, cut at the top. What's going on at central office? There's a lot of administrative bulk. Here is what Superintendent Dade specifically had to say about cutting administrators.
The numbers don't add up. So if you look at just the sheer number of administrators and what Dr. Urbanski termed bureaucracy, the numbers just don't add up. We cannot recoup the $35 million that remains after that $28 million just looking at administrators. It's not possible.
To be clear, the superintendent is not saying cut no administrators. He's saying you can't get it all done at central office. You can't get it all done at the top. There's going to have to be a multi-pronged strategy that, unfortunately, he says, will have to include at least cutting some teaching positions. Let's go around the table and start with Van White. What do you make of what you've heard from the superintendent?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, in any large organization such as a district, most of your costs are caught up in human capital costs, you know, employees, their benefits, retirement. So it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for me to even imagine a scenario whereby you could do this without cutting some personnel. Now, the devil's in the details. Who are the personnel that you cut? I can tell you already the superintendent has identified that there will be cuts at the central office level. And in fact, being a leader that he is, he said, you know, I'm going to lead by example. And recently you heard he said, I'm going from two deputy superintendents to one. And that's a savings of about six figures and some change. So he's not done. There probably will be additional cuts at the central office level. He's indicated that there will probably be cuts at, there will certainly be cuts at the building level, although he and everybody else, I can imagine, would have preferred to have cuts as far away from the classroom as possible. Again, given the size of the organization and the fact that most of our costs associated with servicing children and families is human capital costs, these costs are going to come out of our classroom as well.
Okay. Beatrice LeBrun.
I think for me, I partly agree with what, and I understand what he's saying, and I do want to support our new superintendent. But I also think that there are so many areas that we do have to examine where we do need to make cuts, where we are, you know, perhaps being a little bit overly zealous that we have funding. And what I mean by that, not just central office, you know, I recommended furloughs in central office for him too. Even with cuts, I still think that we need to explore furloughs happening at central office. And I understand the need to cut teachers because they're our largest workforce. However, I also have concerns that I expressed just recently about our vacancies. And, you know, as you know, substitute teaching was one of the areas, substitutes was one of the areas where we overspent. And if you look at that data is also driven by vacancies. So I specifically requested to understand how we're doing cuts. We have vacancies that are driving the cost of substitutes, and where will those two align? There has to be some alignment in there. So if we're cutting and we're saying we're doing true-ups, which is what they have been saying that we're doing, but we also have a high cost of substitutes because of vacancies. How do we address that? And I want to make sure that we make the necessary cuts, but that we don't do them at a point where we don't understand how those two align. Because my concern is that we make these cuts, we still have the vacancies, we drive vacancy costs for subs up even further, and then how do we get a hold of that expense?
All right, we're going to return to that theme in just a moment. Let me ask Commissioner Shepherd for her thoughts as well. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like this is all stemming around the conversation for me is asset versus ability. And so I heard the superintendent talk about what he thought was the number one asset. For me, my number one asset is what deals directly with students in regards to providing them a high quality education and those opportunities in the classroom, but also outside the classroom with extracurricular activities. And then the second asset that I think we look at is staff stability and the support of our employees. Those are the two main things, or three arguably, are those things that we should have at the forefront. And so then when you compare that, or you line that up with what is our ability, my problem is everybody who has a concern about cuts thinks we have an unlimited amount of resources, and we just don't. That's not the reality. And so we can go back and forth all day, every day at a local level, arguing with each other in regards to who should be cut, who shouldn't be, when the reality is when we're talking about salaries and benefits, it soaks up the majority of the cost, and we get what we're going to get from the state level. We have five state representatives that should also be working with our superintendent and our district in regards to what does our unique circumstances, what is it that we need in regards to a formula that is going to have our district and the city operate in the most effective way for our kids. So that's where I'm at with this conversation in regards to asset versus ability and what we're able to actually do with what we get.
All right. So it's interesting. You know, you just heard three voices from the board, and I think three in their own ways, different perspectives, summing up as best as I can, because I want to dive in specifically on these points. You got Board President White saying the new superintendent is being direct and pragmatic about a big, big challenge, and it's important to support that and be honest about the challenge in front of us. I think Commissioner LeBrun is saying, if we end up cutting teachers, and yet you got to hire a bunch of subs because now you don't have teachers, are you really saving, and is that better for the students? And you've got Commissioner Shepherd saying, we better be working harder with the state, especially our local representatives, to form the kind of full force delegation that says we're not getting as much help as we need, and let's not go slashing and burning until we have exhausted every option there. I mean, I think that's a way to sum it up. I want to talk to Commissioner LeBrun specifically about the sub issue, because we're going to get back to state lobbying and all the different prongs here. But Commissioner LeBrun, when you think about subs, Superintendent Dade, as I recall in the conversation, came as close as he could to endorsing the idea that we have overhired teachers, generally speaking, district-wide and non-charter schools, and that right now we're at a little bit of an imbalance there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and so actually that was part of my letter last year to City Council in terms of we're outpacing our revenue with our expenditures, and that was also driven. But I highlighted a number of factors last year, but one of the ones that I did highlight is that we did hire not just instructional, but what we also did was that there were some instructional teachers that were under grants, and then when those grants ended, we moved those individuals into our hard line, our general fund. And
Was that a mistake?
No, that was done purposely. And working in non-for-profit for the last 18 years, if you have a grant and it goes away, unfortunately, that position goes away. And I've worked multiple grant-level positions. When my funding was up, it was time for me to look for employment elsewhere because most non-for-profits don't have a large general fund where they can absorb an employee full-time with benefits. So that was one of the factors. But then again, I just want us to be very cautious about the ripple effects of the decisions that we make. And that was partly why I voted last year no on the budget and fully comprehending what's happening now with reading the CAFR. There are multiple areas highlighted in our CAFR that's going to be discussed December 5th publicly at the audit meeting that shows multiple areas that were overspent. And so while I hear Terry Dade, and like I said, I want to support our new superintendent as best as I can, 100%. I will not be a barrier for him to make the decisions that he needs to make. I just want us to be cautious in terms of how we make decisions and those ripple effects. And so substitute cost is a high factor where we overspent multiple years after years. It's a cost that's continued to rise.
But it seems to me, Commissioner, and again, I am not in the expertise that you or your fellow commissioners are, if there has been, for lack of a better term, overhiring of teachers, generally speaking, the idea would be that you can let some positions go by attrition, you can eliminate others, and not have a substitute crisis, right?
You would imagine so, but I'm just learning within the last couple of months that our substitute cost, they used to say that it was based off the absenteeism rate in the district, but learning the data around that, that's not true. Vacancies are driving the substitutes. I just want us to understand how those two correlate and what the impact's going to be. And I have been requesting true-ups for the last almost 2 years that I've been on the board with our previous superintendent. She would come in and say, I'm doing true-ups, but never gave us the actual data on what happened with those true-ups. And for those who may not be familiar with the term, it just means that we're analyzing how many students we have per teacher and making sure that each classroom is filled to the maximum that we're allowed to have it per the contract.
So one other point for you, and then for Van and Natalie, I want to follow with them, but is it too early in this process for you to agree that this district must cut teaching positions in some fashion to make this work? Is it too early for that?
For me, I feel like it's too early, but it has to be done at the end of the school year for me, for multiple reasons. However, the board already voted to do the 5% reduction, and unfortunately, I was not able to be here. I would have voted no on that. But this is where we're at. So now we have to move forward with the decision that's already been made. However, I would have preferred that we waited till the end of the school year, had a bigger analysis on the impacts and also what the true number would be.
Okay. Board President Van White, do you think we know enough to say that there is no solution long-term that doesn't include cutting some teaching positions and not all just due to vacancies or attrition?
Well, I put it like this. At this particular point, we know there will have to be cuts. Where those cuts will come from depends on what Terry Day lays out, I think, matter of fact, I'll pull it up on my email in a minute because we're working on a plan to present to the board in terms of when he will announce what those specific, because what Commissioner LeBron is referring to is a week or two ago, Terry made a presentation, I think it was November the 12th, and he said, basically what I'm going to need to do is about a 5% reduction, right? And we made it very clear to him, she wasn't there to hear this, but we made it very clear to him that those cuts had to be made equitably. In other words, not equally. So we didn't say, okay, 5% from all teachers, 5% from RTA staff, 5% from paraprofessionals, 5% from ASAR. We didn't say that. We said, make sure that the cuts are made equitably. In other words, that they're made away from those programs and people that most effectively serve our students. So I will tell you, since he hasn't identified, all he said is 5%. Commissioner LeBron and every other board member will have an opportunity to vote on what the exact cuts will be. All we did is said to him, okay, 5% seems to make a lot of sense, because if you did 17%, those would be like draconian cuts. And he said there's no way, even in advance of knowing what those cuts would be, that this district could survive and effectively serve the students of this and families of this district with 17% cuts. So we all listened. I think he said 3%, 5%, 8%. He gave us sort of a smorgasbord of opportunities in terms of cuts. And we agreed with him that 5% was the right amount. Now, we don't know where those cuts are going to come from. We did tell him those cuts should be made only to should first be made to those programs that don't effectively serve students. And then you expand from there. So there could be 2% cuts from teachers, 3% cuts from paraprofessionals. We don't know what it's going to be. But again, in a few moments, I'll try to share with you the timeline that we're working on so that people will know. So to answer your question, Evan, I think it is too soon. All we know is we agree with him that 5% is what is needed. Where those cuts will come from, whether they will be teachers, paraprofessionals, administrators, we don't know yet.
Okay. Commissioner Shepherd, how do you feel about the idea that we know enough to say that there is no long-term fiscal solution for this district without cutting teachers in some form?
So I'm not specific on we have to cut teachers. I'm specific on cuts have to be made across the board. So I'm not just targeting one group within this district. Right. And another thing I wanted to say about that is when we're talking about vacancies, and I think that this is a part of that answers a part of your question, and talk about, is it too early for us to decide and start making decisions? I absolutely do not think it's too early, simply because I had asked a question in regards to vacancies and the cost that comes with vacancies at our meeting a couple of weeks ago. And what was told to me was that even though we may have a vacancy for a certain position, there's no money attached to it. So the vacancy is just on the book. So we can cut that all we want to, but it doesn't add any more value back into our budget. There's no savings there. When normally what would happen is you have a vacancy and you set aside that money for that particular position so that when it's filled, you have money in your bank. That's not what was happening. And so I think that that is where a lot of the confusion is coming from, and why we as a board need to really be working side by side with the administration so that we're giving the correct narrative so people understand the exact place that we're in right now. We are going into December, and session for the state opens back up in January, the beginning of February. So we need to understand what it is that we're actually asking for. We can't operate a plan this year if we don't know the totality of where we're at, which is why I think, you know, and I know this is a sensitive subject, and which is why it takes us back to, we literally are pulling from scraps. And so when we were given the 5% and 10% and 18% of staff reductions as an option, I was actually one that said, listen, we have to push this to the absolute limit, because unfortunately, and I say this all the time, and I don't regret the words that are about to come out of my mouth, unfortunately, saying that we need these certain resources because our kids need this highest quality of education, people do not respond to that type of motivational perspective. They just don't. And it's a sad reality that we're living in, specifically for the city of Rochester and specifically for our students, because that doesn't motivate our leaders to want to do what's right.
Go ahead, Commissioner LeBron.
Yeah, I just want to add two pieces. So what Commissioner Shepherd is discussing is correct. When there's vacancies, there's not going to add, if we eliminate the vacancies on paper, it's not adding funding. But because we have no funding for those vacancies, we still have the cost. We still have the vacancy. We still have the need to fill it. And what this district has done, and it wasn't just this year, this is a little bit of a pattern of the district, is that even though there's a cost associated and it wasn't budgeted for, they still move forward with that cost and that expenditure. And that's partly why we're here today in this situation. The other piece I do want to add, though, is that when they voted on the 5%, although the meeting wasn't recorded, I did hear the audio, but I also pulled up the presentation. So it's 18. So we do have specifics on the numbers. It's 18 administrators, 168 teachers, 38 paras and teacher assistants, and 63 civil service hourly employees for a total of 287 employees. That's the 5% reduction that was voted on. who those individuals actually will be is what the board does not know at this moment. But we do know where those position cuts are going to lie.
But it sounds like, Board President White, you don't buy that we know it is exactly going to be those.
No, we don't. And the point that was made that night was anything, all he did is said, I think it needs to be 5%. But as our general counsel indicated and affirmed, any decision to cut any employee is made by the Board of Education, and it can't be made by some summary statement. It's going to be 5%, going to be 17 teachers here and 15 teachers here. It has to come by specific resolution. So no decisions have been made. And a number of us were very clear to him. We want to make sure that there's equity. And what we meant by that is we want to make sure that you're not just saying, okay, blanket 5%, 5% of teachers, 5% of paraprofessionals. No, that's not the way to serve children. You got to make cuts that makes sense for children. So if it means that, I'm hypothetically speaking, that you'd have to cut more administrators than teachers, because there's in that instance, in this particular proposal, it meant that more teachers were close to serving children. But you keep on saying teachers. I'm not looking at that, and I don't think most of my colleagues are looking at that. I don't want, and I think I heard Commissioner Shepherd say, we don't want to just talk about one group. What we want to talk about with him, and it will be, I think he's going to send out a letter in the early part of December notifying those employees. Shortly thereafter, the board will hear what those employees are. We will have about 3 to 4 days to deliberate over those cuts to make sure that they are cuts that are furthest away from the classroom and cuts that do not affect programs and people that are positively affecting children and families in this district. So I just want to be clear. All we approved was 5%, but he knows that's a generalized number. He's got to come before us with specific cuts, and we will have at least 3 days. I wish it were longer to examine that. And one other thing I want to say that I you know, in the first round of questioning to us, I heard different people, the three of us, say different things, but I didn't disagree with what my other two colleagues said. And then the other thing I want to emphasize is Commissioner Shepherd said, and I think she's absolutely right on this, and a number of board members are saying the same thing, and so is Terry Date. Albany's got to step up to the plate. And after we do our due diligence and identify who those folks are and where those cuts need to be made, the conversation has to continue with Albany.
All right, so a couple of things here. It would be much better radio if I tried to pit you and your colleagues against each other a little bit more, because I get that. I get that. There is something mildly dry about working through budget projections and financial long-term health, and especially when you've got the three people on this program today from the board and, frankly, the superintendent himself, who are sober-minded, serious, not wanting to sort of kick the can down the road. And there's going to be disagreement. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt there will be, but it's not filled with animus. And unfortunately, it's not, for me, it's not filled with cable news style sound bites. It's actually not unfortunately for me. That's not what we're about.
Right,
and I agree with you, Van, on that point. But I am trying to suss out, before I hit the state point, the state funding point, and I know Commissioner Shepherd has hit this one hard, and we're going to get to that in just 1 second. Commissioner LeBron, I saw you just kind of responding to, do you agree with the board president, what you just heard, that we really don't know yet, and there's still, it sounds like you're not fully buying that?
No, and first and foremost, we may not know who the individuals are, but we certainly know at this stage where those positions will be cut between administrators, teachers, paraprofessionals, and our TA staffing and our civil service, which are Bense employees. So we know the number because he presented the number. The board voted on that 5%, and that is the cuts. Now, what I will also say is that if that was not the number understood by everyone at this point in the district, we would not have those collective bargaining unit employees and union leaders reaching out specifically saying, don't cut 38 of our para and TAs, don't cut 168 of our teachers. That is in writing. People can go on board docs and look at the presentation. It was presented to
Van
the board.
Van's saying it's wrong.
I know, because we have not decided who those individuals are, but we do know how many of those individuals are going to be cut. The board voted on that per resolution. I can share it with you, Evan. You can put it on your website.
Why,
it is a public
why,
document.
Van, why are you saying no?
I have no idea why
Evan,
you're saying
Evan,
that.
Evan, you're getting what you want.
No, I'm not.
But Commissioner Shepherd could chime in.
Is this Fox, CNN? What is this?
Don't
like,
do
it's
this.
A public, it's public record. And again, you know, just recently, even Adam Rabansky reached out to RTA members to say we're looking at 168 positions and come out to the board meeting and advocate for teachers. Like, I'm not making this number up. The superintendent presented it. He presented lots of different numbers, but they voted on a 5% reduction.
Why, Van and the Natalie, why is that wrong, Van?
So I choose not to use the word wrong because that incites debate.
No.
But let me just say, nothing. And this is, she can talk about all the resolutions. The ultimate resolution, this is how it works. Every day, she's been on the board for 2 years, I've been on the board for 10 years. This is how it's worked ever since the time of immemorial. You present the superintendent when it comes to cuts, when it comes to individual cuts or cuts across the board. The superintendent has to identify the people and the schools, right? And then when we want to have detailed discussion, she knows this, we have to go into executive session because you talk about specific people.
And that hasn't been done.
That has not happened.
That part hasn't been done, but the 5% and where they're going to cut, that has been decided and voted on already and presented by the superintendent. And it's on board docs. It's a public document.
Listen. But what the superintendent said was, I believe the best scenario for us to resolve our budget dilemma is to do 5% cuts. I was there at the meeting. We all said to him, the devil is in the details. You have to present. And he understood this. He has to present the resolution that identifies specifically. By the way, those teachers that amount to that 5%, those paraprofessionals, those Bente workers, they are represented by union members. Of course, they're going to be sending letters saying, hey, listen, don't make those cuts. But here's the reality of it. If we choose to remove any of them, forget the 5% number. If we choose to remove 1 or 5% or 7% by resolution, that has to be presented to the board. And if the board says no, it's not going to happen. If they say, oh, you can cut 10 of those 30 people, then only 10 of those people are going to be cut. So the decision has not been made.
You're talking about the individuals has to be presented through a resolution.
Absolutely.
The amount has already been voted on and presented by the superintendent. When he gave his 5% presentation, again, it is public record. It's on board docs. The presentations are there with different numbers, like Van said, the 5, 10, 17. There was even 18% of what that would be.
So what Commissioner LeBron is saying is, in some form or fashion, we will see 168 cuts to teaching positions. We don't know where from yet, but that will be roughly the number.
We don't know who those teachers are.
Board President White is saying, if the board doesn't want to do this, the board does not have to do this. This is not set in stone.
Listen to the logic here. Why would Adam Urbanski or any union member be calling up and telling people, hey, be careful, if the deal was done? He realizes, like I do, like she does, like everybody does, that nothing is done until the resolution is voted on. And each board member says it's going to be 10 instead of 20, 40 instead of 50. That's why Adam and others and individual people, we got a whole boatload of people, she probably knows this, that are going to come to the board meeting on December the 5th, and they're going to take to that podium, they're going to speak, because they realize, what she realized, what everybody realized, the cuts have not been made. And if the board decides, hey, listen, we're only going to make 4% cuts or 10% cuts, the decision will be in the amount of resolutions for individuals who've been cut that day.
All right,
That's it.
I'm going to go to the replay review booth. Commissioner Shepherd, you're the referee. What do you make of what you've heard there?
So I think that there's truth in what both of them are saying. So for one, what the board voted on, I was a no, but what the board voted on was that the superintendent can move forward with his plans based on this general parameter. So whatever he comes back with, and he can come back with multiple options, then we still do, it still does come before us again, where we would then make the final decision as a board. So I don't even know, because I did ask if the FTE, so just using the teacher line for an example, the FTEs was 168, and I asked, you know, how many bodies does that represent? Because one FTE does not always equate to one person being gone. And the administration did not have an answer for me. So there's still, you know, we're in the gray areas there is what I can say in regards to this discussion.
After our only break of the hour, I want to ask Commissioner Shepherd about her thoughts on regarding what Superintendent Dade told us about lobbying New York State and relying on New York State for a little bit more of an urgent response to what's going on in Rochester. So you'll hear the superintendent's remarks, and I want to hear all of our guests. On the line with us is Natalie Shepherd, a member of the Rochester City School Board. Commissioner Beatrice LeBron is with us in studio, and the board president, Van White, is here. And despite what Van says, I'm not actually really interested in a brawl. I respect it. And no, he's laughing. The reason they come on this program is because we got a chance to talk through it. So there's a lot to discuss, and we'll get right back to it after this break. Coming up in our second hour, how to talk about climate change on Thanksgiving. Yes, we're serious. And yes, we know that Well, it's kind of a cliche that it's hard to talk about politics on Thanksgiving, or maybe you should avoid it. But we're going to get specific. We're talking climate change, how to have productive conversations, especially among family members who may disagree or have doubts about certain parts of the policy or the politics. That's next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So Superintendent Terry Dade, in trying to make this long-term plan an effective one that doesn't allow for the Rochester City School District to get hit with another surprise like we saw in September, a $30 million hole, or even a $10 million hole in the future, or a $50 million hole, the superintendent says you cannot make the same mistakes. Now, what about going to Albany? What about saying, look, we've got a state delegation here, we've got relationships with them, and we've got to lean on them, have a united front, and they've got to be more effective at getting help from New York State. Superintendent Dade has heard that. Let's listen to what he had to say about lobbying New York State for more help.
After I spoke about the staffing reductions, my very next slide was we need to advocate for additional state funding. So there's no question that a system and a district with the challenges that Rochester faces, we absolutely need additional state funding. I will also make the point that I'm a it-is-what-it-is type thinker. So once we do all of our advocacy and lobbying and what have you, once the state has deemed that number going into the 2021 school year, it is incumbent upon us to spend within our means to adhere to a budget and not keep adding to it without cutting. So it is our responsibility to remain within whatever budget we're provided. So yes, lobby now. As I stated on Tuesday, I will begin that in the coming weeks. And once we've been provided with what our budget is going to be with on the revenue side, we absolutely have to maintain within and spend within our means.
All right, Commissioner Shepard, I'll start with you because you've had a lot to say about the importance of having this united front. Was that a strong enough call from the superintendent for you? Are you satisfied with what you just heard there?
I'm not satisfied in regards to it being a strong enough call. So my what makes me uneasy in regards to lobbying with the state is where we are at as a district, as an organization, in regards to how we're handling finances. About a month ago, I did put out a plan that talked about what are some of the stop gaps in regards to how we control and monitor the things that are going in. One of those things was in regards to capping salaries for certain positions. Well, for all positions, I shouldn't say certain. But the issue that I ran into was my narrative was being twisted. So first of all, I'm a licensed master social worker. So I understand completely that you can put more into a job than what you're financially compensated for. So I'm not going against any particular group in regards to saying the work you're putting in, you don't deserve to be paid for. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, and this is as simple as I can put it, and I'm saying this in the most respectful way, is that on no planet would I ever imagine that in a system that does not have unlimited funds, teachers should not be making more than their administrators. Administrators should not be making just as much as a superintendent. That just logically does not make sense for what we have. We do not have unlimited funds. But there was so much pushback in regards to me even putting the idea out there that I feel like advocating at a state level is a one-time shot. So I don't want this to be a one-time thing. I don't want to go lobby this year to fill in that gap in regards to what we're paying out. I want this to be sustainable so that no matter who is sitting in these positions, that we're getting the correct funding for our district. And another way that I can simply put this so that people understand where I'm coming from is that eventually what's going to happen is we can do however many layoffs we do this year, but next year and a year after that and a year after that, we're going to have to continue doing layoffs every year, because what will end up happening is that a little bit of people will be making a lot of money. And that's the simplest way that I can put it in regards to what I see as the trajectory. And so when we're talking about lobbying, I'm not just talking about lobbying to fill in the gap this year. I really need us to also lobby. I know we're having teachers and other people from paraprofessionals, TAs, administrators coming in to advocate to us on a local level about what we're cutting. But if people want to say that they deserve their compensation, the reality is we don't have unlimited amount of money. Some would argue we're not even getting the appropriate amount of funding. And so we need to exert all that same energy that's about to come on December 5th or 6th or whenever people are coming. We exert all that energy in Albany with a unique formula that's based on what we need here in Rochester.
But Commissioner Shepherd, what about the superintendent's comments don't satisfy you? Because I think he wouldn't disagree with you. I think he would say, absolutely, let's put forth the strength of that argument. But if the answer is whatever the answer is, we must abide by that and not be wishful thinking in our budgeting in the future.
So the part of that I don't particularly 100% connect with is making lobbying at the state for this year. There is still a gap after all of the cuts that have been proposed. There's still a gap of about $28 million. And I just don't agree that our efforts should be centered around filling in that particular gap, because we're going to see gaps every single year. And so I feel like our lobbying efforts should be utilized in making sure that from this year and every year on out, that we're not continuing to go back to the state for what I would call a state bailout. I don't agree with that.
You don't want a one-shot. You want a structural change in what the state is offering help with, because the one-shots. Okay, Commissioner LeBron, do you agree with that?
So let me just say, with what Terry Day just mentioned, I'm actually of the other mindset that we have to live within our means as we are right now. I'm not going to block anyone from, you know, advocating for additional state funding. I think that lots of districts across New York State are, because of the formula aid, they're not getting their full aid, which has put all the districts in New York State in a similar situation in terms of not receiving all of their aid and then struggling to make ends meet. I do know that, but I know this district, and I know that this district has been very wasteful in spending in many areas, and that has led us down this path. And what I will say, too, is that Commissioner Shepherd is right, that this is not a vacuum decision of making cuts within this school year. The trend data that we actually have already suggested that we're going to have a declining student population for white flight plus charter growth. Like, there are things that we have to be mindful of and factoring, and maybe there are things we can do to counteract some of those things. But right now, the trend is that our students declining in the enrollment, which would mean that we will also have to decline in our expenditures. We cannot continue our expenditures the way that they're currently set up. We can't do it.
Board President White, what do you make of what the superintendent said about state lobbying there?
I agree with Commissioner Shepherd and the superintendent, who I don't think has been given enough credit, not by my colleagues here today, but I don't think people perhaps really appreciate the work that he's doing. I mean, much of the work is directed, and the conversation is directed at the board and the central office and our many schools and how we can save money. But make no mistake about it, he is working day and night and speaking to people in Albany about what needs to be done there. I know for a fact that he just had a conversation within the last week with people from the governor's office talking about what we're doing, what else we need to do, but what else they may need to do. So I don't want folks to think this is a one-shot pony, that he's just thinking we can fix it. He knows, and in fact, in his presentation, he was very clear that we could not fix this on the district's efforts alone. And let me just to exemplify that point and to say that we ought to be not just having the superintendent making an effort at having a conversation with folks in Albany, but as Commissioner Shepherd and I know other colleagues have said, that we need to have folks in Albany make good on promises that were made. You know, years ago, the Court of Appeals was very clear. I think Commissioner LeBron referred to this. I think had the state done what the Court of Appeals told them to do in the campaign for the case for fiscal equity, we would have been, I think we've been short about $84 million. And let me just add, Evan.
That's like 2008, right? Something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are the things that other folks can do that board members and colleagues, my colleagues, ought to be convincing folks to do in Albany, in addition to some of the stuff that Commissioner Shepherd has said. But let me add, there are other parties to this. The city has not adjusted the amount of money that they've given this district for two decades. You know, that $119 million was originally, I think, $126 million. For the last two decades, it's been $119 million. It has not been adjusted for even the increase in the levy that they have given themselves. So they haven't, you know, said to Commissioner LeBron or any homeowner in this community, okay, what they have said to those homeowners is, so you know what, your property is, we're not going to increase the percentage of the tax levy, but what we're going to do is we're going to increase the value of your property and we're going to get more money. from you. They've done that over the last 10 years, and not once during that period did the number get adjusted to the district. And why is that important?
It's been $119 million for 2 decades.
And check this out. You know, Commissioner LeBron talks about, and rightly so, there's been an exodus of people from the district. They've gone to charter schools. They've gone to private schools. They've left the district. But that hasn't stopped. And similarly, that's happened in our city. People have left the city. We're down significantly. But they've continued to increase the levy. Why? Because this is what I would say to Commissioner LeBron and others when we talk about, well, we have fewer students. We have fewer students, but the problems and the challenges are much more dramatic. At any given point in time, in any year, 9% of our population is homeless. Our special ed population has increased dramatically. A colleague of yours in the media recently did a report how the suburban and charter schools are methodically sending behavioral students and students with special needs back to the district. So, yes, while we have fewer students, the challenges are much more significant. Poverty is insidious. It eats at families. We Rochester ranks third. Check this out. Third in the United States of America in its top 75 metropolitan districts in intense poverty. That comes with a price tag. And we can't keep on saying to people, we need to be saying to people, we're going to be strong fiduciary agents. But we also have to say to people, other people have to contribute to this challenge that is a community challenge.
So to the board president's point about city support, $119 million from the city of Rochester has been a fixed number for 2 decades.
That's right.
So in 1999, $119 million. Today would be $181 million. That's just an inflation rate. And obviously, we're talking about a lot of money here. But are you prepared to tell the mayor or city council or otherwise that they are shorting the district? Is that what's going on?
I did. And some people said to me at a recent address to my colleagues at City Hall, and I used an African phrase, Mbutu, and people said, oh, man, they don't want to hear that. I know they didn't want to hear that. But the reality is this is a challenge for every citizen. This is a challenge for every board member. This is a challenge for every county legislator. This is, and I hope Adam Bells is listening, this is a challenge for every city council person. This problem is not going to be solved on the backs exclusively of district employees, of school board members. It's going to be solved as a community. And the reality is, if the city believed that over the last 2 decades, it needed to collect more money for less residents because the challenges were more significant, why in the heck wouldn't the district, who, yes, we will concede, has fewer students, but everybody would concede. We bear the brunt of this community's, Monroe County's, challenge with respect to poverty. And I'm not saying we're looking for an excuse for our low graduation rates. As people have heard me say, graduation rates, notwithstanding these challenges, are the highest they've been in 2 decades. The last time this district came close to 60% was in 1997. And that time, the district's four-year graduation rate was 58%. Now we're at 63%. Our superintendent is telling us, and there's no reason to believe, not to believe him, we track this kind of progress. We'll be at close to 70% next year. But listen, if we keep on saying, you got to cut this, you got to cut that, and we don't take the advice and guidance of people like Commissioner LeBron and Commissioner Shepard and start to look at our own numbers, but also look at how other people are contributing numbers, this problem is not going to get better. And the progress that this district has seen, reduction in out-of-school suspensions, increases in graduation rates, all that is in jeopardy.
Commissioner LeBron,
it's
okay. I know you both want to weigh in. Go ahead, Commissioner Shepard.
I just wanted to add another piece to that, too, just in regards to what Superintendent Date is doing. I do believe that he's doing all he can with what he can and what he, you know, I guess I would phrase it as what he walked into. And I respect that. I believe that he should be levying his relationships that he has and that he's building in order to get what he needs for the district, because he's the superintendent at this time. My challenge as an elected official, though, is at a higher view, is that that the resources that we get should not be relational on who the leaders are of that time. It should be specifically on what our kids need. And unfortunately, at this moment, I'm feeling a clash that people are not understanding that it shouldn't matter who is in this seat. If we're saying that this amount of money is what we need for our kids in the city of Rochester, then this is what it is. And it shouldn't be dependent on someone else's relationship. And so I'm grappling with that as an elected official, saying, well, okay, at the state, we got five state representatives right now. And what Are they even meeting? Absolutely not. I've met with them when we go to lobby, and there's one that I've never met with in my 2 years being on the board, and that's a problem. It's problematic that our five officials at the state are not working together for the kids. It's all about politics, and it's all about the separation or relationships of adults.
Commissioner LeBrun.
I would agree with Commissioner Shepherd on that. And what I will add to the $119 million, because I don't think Van and I actually disagree on this piece, and he's right. The taxes do go up for individuals. You know, as someone who has a partner who owns a home, he sees educational tax increases on his tax bill. That money does not get funneled to the district, but residents have the belief that it does because it keeps going up for them. But what I will say is that was a decision, and I don't think Van was on the board when that happened, because it was 14 years ago to be exact, when the Board of Education, you know, agreed to that $119 million, and that without any foresight about inflation and so forth, I think it was a board bad decision. And I think the old board, some of the folks, one person in particular, still there, but Van was not there. Commissioner Ellie was there, so it was a different makeup of the board. But you know, we have to own that piece too, that was agreed upon, and it shouldn't have been agreed upon, because it would be, with the cost of inflation, a much higher number now. So what I will say to that is that in the CAFR this year, they actually do mention that there is a clause in that MOE, and I would like the board to explore that clause to see if there is a way that we can get out of that.
Let me just say, as a taxpayer, this is just an observation in society, and I don't have any particular bias in any single district or whatever, but it seems like we talk about funding from one level of government to another every 3 to 5 years. We talk about the minimum wage every 3 to 5 years because we never attach anything to inflation.
Right.
the value of a dollar is not fixed. We get ourselves in trouble all the time with this. Just an observation. Real quick here, let me get some listener feedback. Chris is keying in on something Van White said earlier this hour. He said that, you know, you want to make sure that what is cut are the kinds of programs that don't effectively, you know, help students. And, you know, it might have been in a quick moment. He hears you say that and he thinks, why would any programs exist that don't effectively help students?
That's a great question. But the reality is, I'm going to be honest, as I always am when I come on the show, that does exist. There are sometimes programs that don't effectively address students. It's not that there's something
like
malicious happening.
Like
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I can tell you what happens is, you know, the old adage, what gets measured gets done. For decades, the district wasn't following that adage. So you put yourself out there as a group that could help students in X, Y, and Z area, but the district never measured what you were delivering. And so that is an example of how sometimes people get money that is not serving students. So this district, the administration is going to have to do its due diligence. They're going to present their numbers. And let me tell you, including Commissioner LeBrun, who I know has her eye on finances and numbers, every board member, I think, will be looking at those numbers from this perspective and making sure that we're getting added value, that we're getting a return on investment for each program or person that it remains on that avoids a chopping block. And for those that have been removed, I know I, all my colleagues are pretty diligent about this. For anybody who's removed, we're going to be asking him why. And then, listen, if we decide that, because the number we're talking about now is he's already able to address the 28, 30 million that we were behind for the prior fiscal
right.
year. What we're talking about is, as he has said, we don't want Groundhog Day in June of 2020. So that's why we have to make these cuts now. So if when all is said and done, we can't make up that 30 million, let's say, and we'll say we're short, and we can't, as Commissioner Shepherd and others are rightly concerned about, Commissioner LeBrun, all my colleagues, what happens in 2021, 2022, if we can't start figuring that out down the road, that's when we have to start looking at our other partners and saying to the city, adjust that money, the state, adjust that money.
You know, if the next budget comes out, though, Board President White, yeah. and there's the 168 teaching cuts, Commissioner LeBrun's going to come on the show and say, I told you
yes,
so.
Yes, I am.
She does that. She tries to do that all the time.
All the time. That's why I just go back to the documents and the data that's presented. I mean, I don't make up these numbers.
Commissioner Shepherd, in our last minute, this process that's going to be hard, I mean, no one thinks it's going to be easy or there's any, you know, sort of simple solution here, but it's going to be effective if what? What needs to happen, Commissioner?
I think that the administration needs to be completely transparent with the Board of Education. And by that, I mean there's lots of meetings and conversations that happen outside of board meetings where they're talking about potentials of what we want to do moving forward. The reason why it's important for the board to know every single thing, every single option, even if we don't relay that to the community, is because we are elected by the community. And so at the very least, at the community's voice is going to be heard in these conversations behind the scenes through our advocacies for the constituents that we represent. And so it's only going to be effective if we're at the table through and through, so we can say, yeah, this may work, this may not work. And I do think that there is a good thing in regards to all of the commissioners having different perspectives, because then we can bounce things off of each other to say, well, this is why this would impact this particular group or that particular group. The caller asked about how can we have programs that don't yield return on investment, is President White's way of saying it. It's because we need to say, what is it that we do value? Because they value someone or something.
No, far from dysfunction. There's a chance to turn this into a much more functional situation here, and it's going to be hard, but I agree with the commissioner. Commissioner Shepherd, thanks for the time as always. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Evan.
Commissioner Beatriz LeBron, always nice to have you.
Thank you, Evan.
And Board President Van White. Thank you, Van.
Always a pleasure.
We always appreciate the access and the time and how quickly they say yes, even when the conversations can be difficult. Much more to come on that, and more to come here on Connections next.